You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
I'm banging my head against the cylinder head right now.
You're an avid Motor Mouth listener, correct?
That's it.
I want to talk to the Motor Mouth guys.
Motor Mouth!
It's a little hard to understand you. I don't know if there's a bad connection on your end.
I know there are plenty of the callers banging at your door because you're such a popular radio program.
Yeah, I love listening to you guys.
It's amazing that it took you about 8 seconds to go to the lowest common denominator.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, guys, you do a great job. I have to say that right off the bat. One of my favorite shows. And I figured, let me bother you since no one else does.
Motor Mouth!
I'm just listening to you guys and you're scaring me.
Hi, Chris and Ray.
Let's be serious now.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Oh, I'm having a great time listening to this today.
I got a phone call saying, hey, I'd love to have Ray and Chris come over and do a tune-up on my car.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Another caller you don't hear much from.
No, what I do is I put on my Motor Mouth radio t-shirt.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
Someone should find a way to highlight your technical prowess. I haven't seen it in 3 years.
That's okay because you guys are regular guys.
I'm sorry, I just lowered the radio. What was that you said?
Motor Mouth!
Yeah, how you doing, Ray, Chris?
I listen to you guys all the time. I call you every once in a while.
You know, I found out that drinking heavily makes your show sound better.
Are there going to be headliners there at the show?
Yes, we do. We try to bring a personality in every year, and this year we have two personalities.
I know it's not us.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Alrighty, trying to keep our feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars since 2002. This is Motor Mouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show right here on Long Island. I'm Chris Switzer, and of course, here's a man voted most eligible car buyer from every new car dealer in the Long Island area. And he's sitting right behind the shop bench right now. It's Ray Guarino. How are you, my brother?
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm
just kidding. I'm so glad we prepared for this show. And of course, also, Obi-Don Cannoli, the technician's technician.
I had two mics, so I was smoking out of both sides of my mouth.
The man in the clouds, and the individual I affectionately call Uncle Evoons, Joe D, is here with us. And I know everything is going wrong. We're starting out with a thud, as usual. How are you guys?
What makes this any different?
Is there
some kind of special, like, red letter on the calendar or something?
No,
it's the usual mayhem.
Usual insanity going on here. It's Motor Mouth Radio. It's a one-hour automotive talk show if you don't know the rules of the game here. And we are also on VaughnLive.tv/Motor Mouth Radio. Where are we? That's the radio station we're on. There we go.
Okay, hold up the fingers now.
There's the finger.
Okay, he's always got to do the thing with the finger.
How are you, Ray Ray?
Excellent.
You look excellent.
Talking to Mike Sims on my texting with Mr. Sims.
Doesn't Mr. Sims know you're on the air?
He does. That's why he's texting me, because he knows I can multitask. You know, maybe...
So far, it's worked out really well.
Maybe Mike will get in on this. This was a thought I had during the week, which kind of I just echoed when I walked in the door from another kind of the same family of ideas. I was driving the other day, and I was going to go have breakfast at the diner. And a song came on the radio. And I actually hoped to get stuck for the red light that I knew was a long red light.
That never happened.
I could have gone through the light on the yellow, and I stopped for it just so I could hear more of that song. And my question is, what song would either you guys or Mike stop for to do that to?
Wow. Well, that's a rather long list because...
Oh, I know.
I know with me, it's like... Oh, wow, I haven't heard that in 1,000 years, but...
This one just happened to me 3 times in the last month. It's a prog rock group. I'll give you that. You know how much I like my prog rock.
Kansas?
No, not Kansas. A lot shorter than that, but...
Yes.
It was Yes, Yes song. And when this song comes, one of the ones that makes that hair on my neck stand up, it's just because of the organ and the way the guitars progress. Starship Trooper.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Let me tell you something. That song just really sends me over the edge.
You were close to the edge,
right? I was close to the edge, right. Right. So, Chris, anything like that, does that ever happen to you? Would you stay at a red light or hope to get a red light or a long crossing so you could hear the remainder of that song that was on the radio?
Any Frank Sinatra tune.
Okay.
any one of them.
See, they're pretty quick, though. Yeah. Those are like two and a half, two, 3 minute songs, you know. Mm-hmm. These Yes songs are epic sometimes. You know, yes. It's like ELP. You got to sit there. You need like you need a couple like train crossings. And
Yeah, it always works out good because if you not manage to get where you're going in within the time of one of those songs, you know you've done good, especially if it's in another county.
Yeah.
I think it would be more like disc jockeys than songs.
Mike says he has too many to list. We all have too many to list, but that was the one that just stuck out at me. And today on the way in, it was the Who Are You? I found myself playing drums and bass concurrently, and I don't play bass. But I do when I listen to this.
Well, yeah, that particular run is pretty much sticks in your head. And
Yeah.
While you're driving?
While I was driving.
You're playing bass.
Foot pedals and all, man. Let me tell you, everything is moving. Hands, foot. Everything was going. Everything was moving on the way here. It was a really good ride.
Yeah, that definitely makes for a better run. Definitely, yeah.
Another thought I had, and I know why it came to me, because I drove my Pontiac last week. Driving, we all drive cars that have fuel injection, and they're great. Nice linear curves, linear torque curve, acceleration is beautiful.
Right.
But I miss driving a car where you can progressively open a carburetor, like a quadrajet, which I'm not driving, but that was the perennial one. You go through those primaries and you get that boom, boom, you know,
yes,
the secondaries kick in,
yes.
Fuel injection killed that for us.
I know. Now it's just a nice straight shot. And there is something to be said for that noise, especially if you have an open intake, if you don't have the silenced air cleaner.
Or if you have the lid flipped over. If you have the air cleaner lid flipped over, right.
Oh, yes. That alone just gets the blood moving. That's almost better than the music, actually.
You always knew that kid in high school that did that to like some 307 or Ford 302. He just took the air cleaner and flipped it over.
I did it on my Monte.
Sure.
Really?
My Monte Carlo, yeah. Well, I put the big block in the car, and I wanted more air. And I had a 12-frame filter, so the filter was actually above
sticked
the top.
It up, yeah.
So it looked like some weird Japanese pagoda thing.
And you could do that with a Monte Carlo because you had plenty of clearance. Otherwise, you'd have that funky little dot in the middle of the hood.
Right.
You cannot do that with a Camaro.
No,
you can't.
No. Well, ask me how I know.
I could on... Oh, Christian says Iron Butterfly, Inagata De Vita. You know, he spelled it like Inagata La De Vita Vedata. But anyway, I know what he means. See, I had a
that's
ZL,
the scary part, folks.
I had a ZL1 hood on my Camaro. It was an aluminum. It was not aluminum. It was a fiberglass hood, and it was tall because the Torca with the tarantula had to fit under that, and it did. It was cool because you could look from the driver's seat. You could look into the open back of the cowl, and you could see everything move around and shake. It's cool stuff.
Very much better for tracking those motor mounts that got wasted.
Yeah, true.
516-572-7440. If you want to share in the nostalgia here, we have the phone line open. 516-572-7440. Go into the phones. Go into the fun, saying hi around with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning. Surprise, surprise. One more time.
What's up, Bronk? How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Just having good old fun. What else is new?
Mm-hmm.
And love listening to you guys in the morning. This way I know why I moved out here.
Hey, Bronk.
You know, anyway.
Bronk, is there any...
You've got a good 1,000 miles to the coast, though, right?
No, I'm only 200 from the coast. I'm right in the Sierra Nevada. So I'm only about 210 miles from San Francisco. So it gives me proximity to the best of all worlds.
Bronk, what song comes on the radio stops you for what you're doing?
Yeah, I was listening to it. I was thinking about the same thing. I don't know. I have such a diverse kind of ideas about music. I like everything from classical, symphonic, probably big band. I get some good swing.
There you go. So what radio station out by you plays good swing?
Believe it or not, there's one station. It's called Bob FM. And they play 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Okay.
So it's a nice variety of different kind of music.
Wow.
You know? So everything. That's what I like. Instead of like just one genre, like 1980s, that's it. 2000, that's it.
It's funny. I used to work for a country station called Bob FM. It was like, what was their catchphrase? Oh yeah, turn your knob to Bob.
Interesting. Oh. You know,
I was worried about the FCC.
And you had to say that too.
You know, you make a good point about the air cleaner. I have a '99 Pontiac GTP with a supercharger, and what I did was open up the air box. That didn't change any of the parameters on the computer, just by moving the air filter about 2 inches outside the air box. On the inlet side, I made a set of brackets. I get much more response. You're talking about more air because these things like to breathe. Doesn't change it. And I get immediate acceleration when you hit it. There is instant power. Plus, my gas mileage went up. So when you're talking about flipping the covers on the air cleaners, right, I still do that on my 1985. I flip the cover. And I like that sound. You can't beat the sound when you open the carburetors up. Mm-hmm. It is nice.
It's even better than the exhaust.
Brought back a lot of memories. Good thinking there, Ray Boy. You did good.
All I did was just drive my old car, Bronc, and these things just come to me. They just fall out of the crevices.
Right? And that's going back, throwbacks. Shows. Right? I got some interesting stuff for you. You know, I work at the Automobile Museum, and I've been taking classes over there. They're trying to get me to be a Dalton. Which is a tour guide. You go through the different galleries and talk about the history and different vintage and different discoveries and inventions that were made. So I came up with one year that I felt was really, really interesting that made a lot of changes in the automobile industry. The year was 1895. You can think that far back.
And remember like it was last century.
Exactly. You know, it was like yesterday, to me, anyway. I was celebrating my 14th birthday back then.
You beat me to it.
I just want to bring out some points I think you might find interesting.
Uh-huh. All right?
Frank Duryea wins the first major U.S. auto race from Chicago to Livingston, Ohio. And it was 50 miles, and he did it in a record of 9 hours.
9 hours at a top miles. Speed of what?
Well,
11 miles
a little miles an hour.
How many?
Yep.
Give me that number again, bro. Give me the number. I missed it. What was the number?
What, I'm sorry?
What was the number?
Like 4 miles an hour.
Four?
Yeah, it's 50 miles in 9 hours.
Yeah, so it would probably be come out to 4 or 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 miles. All right. Then they had the first organized. This was an unorganized race. Right, this was
certainly
the first
was.
Organized automobile race,
right.
And it was organized by the Automobile Club of France, and that was Paris to Bordeaux. Then they had, this is what I found interesting, the first pneumatic tires were put in by Michelin Brothers on that first organized race, Paris to Bordeaux, and the Michelin Brothers, believe it or not, retired because they were getting too many flats on their pneumatic tires.
I didn't know Reader's Digest had all this stuff in it.
Right? It hasn't changed, basically. And then the first race accident on the sideline of people watching, right, it was in a panhead. Now, the panhead was a car that was developed. It was the first front-engine car.
Wait, a car that was developed?
First front-engine car.
I thought we shifted gears here to two wheels.
Back in that time period, the engines were underneath the seat or towards the back of the car. Mm-hmm. Panhead LeVar was the first one to put the engine in the front. It was also the prototype for the twin cylinder that we use in motorcycle engines, which I thought was interesting. That was back in the 1890s, and they had no ignition system. They used a hot tube. It was a kerosene burner that heated up two tubes that went into the combustion chamber, and that's what set off the ignition. It was real effective until the engines and the cars would blow up almost instantaneously.
I heard you were just using a hot tube this week.
Hey, it keeps me alive, right? My proctologist suggested.
Whatever works.
And then, finally...
Oh, I'm glad there's a finally, yes.
Right at the end of the hot
was
tube.
Was that Auto Car. You know the magazine?
Yeah.
Yes.
World's largest running magazine. And believe it or not, I didn't know this, it's published in England.
And it was made out of wood.
What? That was a magazine. And they were still using papyrus. You know?
Or papyrus.
No, papyrus, exactly. You know, I take a feather out of a duck's ass, stick it into my wrist, and I'd write this. So, something to think about. I think I start the morning off with this good news.
I'm sure, man, we're thinking. Well, Bronc, as always, we thank you very much for your glorious input.
You still pick up the phone. So that's even more amazing. Anyway, guys, have a great week.
Thank you, my brother.
And enjoy. Say hi.
Right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. 516-572-7440. If your car's a little bit newer than 1895, give us a call if you got a question about it. Joe D, Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This
if
is
it
Motor-
is all the we'll send the question to Bronc.
Right, exactly. And the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, drivers that have gotten in the way of flying birds.
That's right. If you see a puff of feathers on your own, you're part of the Motormouth Radio on the Group of the Hour. So keep it where you got it. Got a lot more of this mess coming your way. Plus your calls at 516-572-7440. Stick around.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Motormouth Radio on 90.3 FM, WHPC.
WHPC 90.3, the radio voice of Nassau Community College, is looking for individuals, businesses, charities, or organizations in our local and global community that would like to donate to support our radio station. Whether you listen locally or online, here is how it works. Go to our webpage at ncc.edu/WHPC and click Donate Now. Or if you prefer, you can send a check to WHPC Radio, 1 Education Drive, Garden City, New York, 11530. Make check payable to the NCC Foundation. In the memo of your check, write WHPC Donate Now. Any contributions will help defray our operating costs, and it's tax deductible. This message was brought to you by the radio voice of Nassau Community College. Streaming online at ncc.edu/WHPC.
All righty, welcome back to Motormouth Radio. We are taking those calls, 516-572-7440. Joe D., Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. We're going to the phones. We're going to the fun, I swear. And we're going to say hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Chris, Ray, and Joey D.
Hey.
Hey, Bob.
What's up, Robert? How are you, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just finished the McLaughlin report, now I got you guys.
Okay, then.
Now, there's a slide. So,
one's credible, one's incredible.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
The auto show topic.
Yes.
Auto show.
Is?
Okay, I'm going to go with the car, my car choice.
Yeah,
the show at the Javits Center we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it was actually a great show. You know, all these manufacturers are putting out decent, affordable vehicles. I don't think there's anything bad out there.
I like the new Buicks.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
they got
you know, it's funny you say that because when we had turned the corner and walked into the Buick display, it was kind of striking.
Why was that?
Well, they have their new flagship's going to be coming out, and they said it was relatively close to what they're going to be manufacturing. Mm-hmm. It had a kind of a strange name.
I don't actually
recall the name, but you couldn't miss it. It was maroon. It was chromed out. It was new platform, new engine, new 3.6 engine. Some are turbocharged, some are naturally aspirated.
Mm-hmm.
Complete new engine buildup on a 3.6.
You know, Bob, actually, the review I read, Joe and I were just saying that they have a new convertible. I forget the model name.
But, I saw it.
But the reviewer had said that his displeasure was at the car they showed as the prototype, the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
It watered down way too much for his taste, and the car got more mainstream looking in production. So, but Buick is trying to break that stodgy, your old man, your grandfather's car image, and they have a with the new line. But that convertible, I was looking at it, but it's like starting at $37,000, and it's not a retractable hardtop, so forget about it.
Okay, so moving from that, speaking of retractable hardtops, my pick this year is going to be the same as last year. The MX-5 had come up with a retractable hardtop.
And they took it out, too.
That is as striking as anything I have seen from the heavy hitters.
So you're talking about the Miata, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, they're still offering, because I remember when they offered it, because Joe Stella showed it to me in person. He goes, hey, you maybe want one of these. And then I thought after a few years, they took it back out again for weight savings and went back to the soft top.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had the hardtop there, and I actually got a little FaceTime with the North American representative.
Okay.
And I got a little bit of his history, so he's not a jerk. This guy's, you know, he's 30 years deep.
Ayakota Miata.
And the hardtop for that new Miata is unbelievably gorgeous.
And it is retractable.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you can't even, when they did the operation for retraction and then setting it back up again, it transforms the car as nice as the hardtop as it is the soft top.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, these two.
And also the competition between the new Camaros and the new Mustangs, both supercharged, turbocharged, and naturally aspirated, they're all putting out horsepower.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, believe it.
You know, GM is sparing no expense on their money. The Cadillac line is going to be a world contender.
The LS and the Panther, not the Panther. What's the new Ford platform?
And they were really, they the made no bones about it. They want to be, you know, they had that title, you know, decades ago, world leader. And they mean it. Cadillac means it.
I believe it. They're putting a lot of money into it recently.
Yeah, they're not kidding. No, mm-hmm. they're out for it.
They had a taste of world dominance with the big guns with the CTS-V platform, and I think that they've tasted blood and they're running with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, how do you figure? You know, Cadillac is still putting a 6-speed manual that can run with just about anything for tens of thousands of dollars less than the big guns.
But I'll tell you, Bob, you know what kind of shoots Cadillac in the foot? It's their interior appointments. Every time I see them, I could deal with it. I kind of forgive them for a little bit, but the buff books don't, like Car and Driver, Motor Trend. They always harp on them. They say, can keep up with the BMWs, not a problem, the great cars, but...
You know how I read that? They had to pick on something, and if that's what they had to pick on, fine.
It is true, fine. You know, because I always used to lambast the buff books for saying, oh, the ashtray door was out of alignment, or, oh, there was a little problem with the air conditioning vents. But, and like Ray says, it was always, they had to dig at the American guys. But just for the fact that I think that I can live with it, but I know that it has been noted in print.
It's a sound argument, though. I would say, other than Audi, because Audi makes probably one of the best interiors, Cadillac, it truly is a contender on their interior. They're as serious as any manufacturer can get. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm a Cadillac fan, I'm just saying, you know, you look at it. Porsche also, Porsche's new entry-level 911, their entire line is now going to be entry-level turbocharged.
Really?
And that's under $100,000 you can get a car that can run all day. So Porsche didn't miss a step on that either.
Mm-hmm. Well,
enough
like
of my nonsense,
train.
Guys. So my pick was, I didn't see everything, but my pick is going to be, again, and it. I don't understand why Honda Civic had won the North American award, but I did say to you this time last year, that the Miata was going to win, and it won World Car of the Year. And I'm going to go back to the Miata retractable hardtop as World Car of the Year.
Wow, we've been talking to you for a year already?
Yeah, it was the year that I had picked the Miata. They didn't. The other magazines didn't pick. It was a contender. They didn't pick Miata. But 2 weeks prior to the show, the Miata won. You know, the MX-5 won World Car Pick of the Year.
It is. It's a great car.
Yeah, the award up on the stand.
Wow.
Anyway, guys, I wish you guys have a great weekend, and we'll speak next week.
Thanks, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
bye.
For the input. Bye-bye. 516-572-7440.
Look at that. We got a remote correspondent.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, over at the Javits Center.
The technology, and there is a big hot race out there amongst all the car companies. Nobody's slouching. Mm-hmm. Everybody's putting out some pretty cool stuff.
That's what's good. They're stepping up to keep up with each other, that's competition.
Very true. Back to the phones. Back to the fun. On with the Motormouths. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Motormouth guys. It's Lee, 57.
Hey, Lee.
57 Chevy, whatever my name is, Joe D.
Oh, there's other names, but we just can't say them right
Hello,
now.
Hello, Leandro. How are you?
No, there sure as hell are other names. And matter of fact, the phrase just fits. I was just listening in to the gentleman who was just talking about the auto show.
Yes.
And I just wanted to pipe in. My wife and I were down there last Sunday, and I got to tell you something. It was basically the best auto show I have been to in more years than I would like to count. Just from a basic fan's point of view.
That's because you were able to steal more radio knobs than everyone else, right?
Well, to be honest with you, I actually took a couple of transmission knobs also, pistol grips and everything. And, you know, nobody knew any better. The only bad thing that...
I got to tell you something. They don't make nice cufflinks. You got to stop with the cufflinks, okay? Okay, sorry, go ahead.
That got a reaction.
You know, why I do this, but as Joe D knows, I had a bad night last night. I almost lost my wife's father, but he's getting better today. I feel that I just had a call in and I needed a laugh. And I saw this, I saw Joe on the video, and for number one, Joe, nice of you to dress up for the show today. Thank you very, very much.
Hey, boy, critics, huh?
At least he's wearing pants this time.
Yeah. Like, well, yes, he is. But
no cufflinks.
He's wearing that same gray sweatshirt that he was probably born in, but hey, what the hell?
Well, thank you. Now
it's a TARDIS sweatshirt, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it is. It's a Doctor Who shirt. Yes.
So it's acceptable.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say is that, number one, I'm sorry that I wasn't at the show the other day when the Porsche caught fire. That by all means would have been fun. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how it happened. They were moving the Porsche in and somehow the rear wheel or whatever totally burst into flames or something. But, a couple of the cars in which I did want to mention. Number one, as Joe knows, my wife's been driving a Ford Escape, a couple of different Escapes for many years. Ford never gets it right. They should leave well enough alone. The new Escape, both my wife and I cannot fit in. Our legs, there is no proper leg room at all. That's Ford's mistake, number one. The new Jeep, Renegade, looks really nice.
Right.
But I read online a couple of the reviews and everything, and now all of a sudden I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Well, it's like it's a little light truck. It's a little like trucklet.
And it is a Fiat. It's a Fiat 500S or whatever, mm-hmm. just with a couple of Jeep names on it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, look-wise, appearance-wise, it is a nice little car. But what I keep hearing and reading about is that the engine, number one, you could hear it from here to the west side of San Francisco, that it's really bad and that it doesn't handle well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at the Jeep, it looks terrific. Now, number three, and matter of fact, I'll save this for the best because Joe's seen me. He's known me for years. Joe D, the Dodge Charger, is one beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, I can see you in that.
And I've never considered myself a Charger fan. I never considered myself that I had the build or whatever for it. I got into that car. I swear to God, I fit in like a glove. My wife took photos. Everybody at the courthouse keeps telling me, Lee, this should be your next car.
Yeah, so be all I can tell you is Charger ownership.
The Charger is a beautiful, beautiful car.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised, Joey, if maybe one of these days you'll see me pulling into your little parking garage driving that baby.
That would be great.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I just wanted to say that for people who haven't, I know today is the last day of the show and everything, but for the plain basic fan, not the real souped up type of guy, hot rod guy, whatever, but I got to tell you, it was one enjoyable show. And I won't tie you up. I will continue to listen in. And you guys, as always, do a great job. Have a fantastic day. And Joey, in case you don't know, over at Tony's place, there is a 56 Chevy Bel Air sitting there.
It's a 54.
I sent you photos the other day. Yeah. I don't know if you got it.
I got it. Yeah, it's a 54. I walked past it yesterday.
It's a 56. I'm sorry.
No, it's not a 6. 56 looks more like your car, except no fins. It's like a 54.
Well, I'm sorry. My brain isn't sewn up right. Yes, it is. It is a 1954, and not a bad looking car either. But anyway, guys, all the best, Joey D. You know where I am. Everybody, take care.
Take care, man.
Take care, Lee. Right,
take regards, man. Thanks.
Bye bye.
Pleasure, guys.
Always take a pleasure. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
516-572-7440. That's two correspondents from the Javits Center.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
That's and you know what? The Ford, the charge is a Ford door. It's got Lee's name written right on it. Yeah.
Joe D, Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer, and of course you can check out this show on Performance Motorsports Network. You can also check us out on iHeartRadio. They're proud, we're prouder. We got a lot more coming your way right here. Plus your calls at 516-572-7440. Keep it where you got it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
You have a short in your horn.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Bill Horan presents Secrets of Success, the show designed to help listeners uncover their hidden talents to maximize success. Listen to Secrets of Success Wednesdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7:30 a.m. on 90.3 FM WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College. Streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
You have a short in your horn.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
All righty, welcome back to Motormouth Radio. We are taking those calls, 516-572-7440. We're going to the phones. They're on fire. We're saying hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Joe.
Richie. Almighty Yang. How are you, sir?
Hi, hon.
Good, sir. I enjoyed the critique on the Charger as far as the fitment of the gentleman into the car.
Right.
Yes.
They didn't even have to grease the sides.
A few customers with recent Chargers, they still seem to be plagued with quality control problems. I.e., 700-mile cars slammed the passenger door and the mirror fell off.
Oh, gosh.
The elderly woman said, is this metal strip supposed to be on my pocketbook? The window reveal molding on the not the same car, I might add, was accompanying her into the restaurant.
Wow.
So, Chrysler, I had a 64 Polara 500. In 1965, and it seemed that the paint was coming off the rocker panels because they tried a zinc coating to try and eliminate rust. Well, they had eliminated paint adhesion as well. So, summing up through the years, I could go on and on ad infinitum, to use a little of Joey's type lingo. I've had my share of Chrysler maladies through the years.
It sounds that way, Rich.
Yeah.
But I understand about the molding, but I drive an old Dodge cop car, so this molding, we don't need any stinking molding. It's a police car.
Yeah, it's supposed to come off easy to beat the perps with.
I'm sure they have like a basic smattering of a molding here or there, but it's hard to get a new image when your old image pops up from time to time.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very true, yeah.
Yeah, they're very hit and miss, them cars.
And when I was over there with Joey yesterday, and I looked under the hood of that was a white Charger Hemi there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that thing,
looking at how much plastic is around the engine and things that have to be serviced after 7, 8, 9 years, and I saw the need for tie wraps to secure factory clips that are all busted loose, et cetera, et cetera.
I believe it. I'll tell you, though, Rich, when I got under the dash of my Charger, if you ever see, you see the dash, it's very deep, right? The windshield has got quite a rake on it. I get under there. You know what's under there? Nothing. There's absolutely nothing under that dash. You can crawl up and into it. There's no wires, no components, nothing. It's got to be as technological as a hamper. There's nothing there.
I will say, though, that, you know, they seem to maintain some solidarity, which they hadn't in the past, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The dash, like you say, there's not much in it, so it stays relatively quiet through the years.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. The cards, other than the usual squeaks from the suspension, it's pretty quiet inside.
Yeah.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of them Chrysler's, like, I'm not going to jinx myself, but I know of a certain Chrysler minivan that's kind of still with us.
Right.
With only a minimum of stuff going on.
And I remember this all started back in the 50s when they had the forward look, 57. They rushed them into production way too soon, even though they were good-looking cars. Clocks didn't work. Doors would fly open. The cars would leak. You couldn't find a trunk that sealed correctly, if I remember. Even the hooks, the little clothes hooks that sat in the back seat up on the headliner, they used to find them upside down. It was like all that stuff. And that really tarnished Chrysler's image for being an engineer's car, being a solid built car, and it seems that it really hurt them all through the 60s, and now it's...
And the Ram Chargers came along.
Right, then it came back, bite them in the butt again, I guess. So, I think we lost Rich.
Yeah.
Well, he's preoccupied.
No, he's probably a bagel in front of him.
Vacuum lines.
Vacuum are you singing lines. The vacuum line song?
I think he's in a trance.
Tracing a schematic.
Oh yeah, that is, knowing him, he probably is. What are you doing, Rich?
Yeah, I was watching them program a Ford van there that had various maladies where it was.
Trying to
evade being programmed, shall we say?
Yes, and guess what? It's still no good because they called me up. I ended up coming over there after coming back from upstate, and. It's got a code for the fuel temperature sensor. I'm like, well, it doesn't have one. It didn't have one before. And also, like, it's got a code for the cruise control. Do you see a cruise control knob here? I think that ECM has some
issues.
Issues, yes. It's a little bit disoriented there.
Did it belong with the van originally?
No, it was a reman.
Oh, what a surprise.
It was a reman, yes.
It was remanufactured in Mexico.
Right, where they have
what
cruise control.
What could be wrong?
Yeah, the guy's name who probably did it was named Cruz.
Right.
And not even up the up here Cruz, the down there Cruz. Yeah, so, you know, hey.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Rich.
All righty, Chrissy.
All right, we'll talk to you
guys
soon.
Have a good afternoon.
Thanks,
Rich. Right. Thanks
bye-bye.
For calling.
See you all soon. All right, bye-bye.
516-572-7440. The phone line's on fire.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah. So some of them are just burnt.
Right. So, yeah, it was remanufactured ECM.
Yeah, it was completely still not. It's wrong codes for stuff that the car doesn't even have.
Interesting.
So I'm like, I don't, you know, even though I had theorized that was the problem with this particular vehicle, they put an ECM in it, and then it started throwing check engine lights for stuff the car didn't have. And I'm like, something went awry, and I think it has something to do with the remanned ECM. So I think we're going to try it again Monday. We'll find out. I'm not holding my breath, though.
Let's go to the phones, to the fun, test the wrinkles out of the brain, say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Pat. I have a question for you.
Hey, Pat, what's going on? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Lindenhurst.
Oh, okay.
You're new. First time
right.
calling, Pat.
Yeah.
Nice.
Listen, I'm not sure of the year. It's a friend of mine had called me about a problem. It's a PT Cruiser.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's a 02, 01 or something to that area.
Yeah, that's what I'm
okay.
saying.
Mm-hmm. Change the fuel tank, change the evap canister and solenoid, and will not accept fuel.
Not accept fuel?
In other words, it's not going in there.
It kicks back.
The fuel kicks back, yes.
I read about that.
Did the same exact thing with the old tank, and they changed, the tank was changed. The same exact thing with the old canister, old emission canister, and the evap canister.
Well, Pat, I have to say this. You do know what new means, right?
Never ever worked.
Maybe it's the same, like the same type of production run as the old stuff, and the fault just follows through with the replacement part.
Yeah, that's one possibility. We have seen that with brand new parts all the time. Well, however, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Joe.
So it does the exact same problem, and who decided that?
What happened was, at first it wouldn't take, going by volume.
Right.
It went from putting in $2 worth to $1.50 at stopping.
And then it would stop, right. How did the car run? Does it run fine?
There's nothing wrong with the...
Runs fine.
There's no running problem. It's the tube is not clogged. There was people were saying that there's, you know, possibility that spiders would get in there. That's eliminated. There's if you disconnect the the hose from the gas tank, mm-hmm. it flows beautifully.
Well, something is preventing the air in the tank from escaping while the fuel is being added into it. That's what's happening.
What happens? Okay. What happens if you disconnect the vapor lines where they go to the canister? Have you tried doing it that way?
The vapor lock switch?
The vapor lines.
The vapor line? Well, that was all replaced.
Okay. Well.
Okay, because it's a used tank.
Okay.
All right, that's the vapor line is on the top of the tank, and this was a junkyard tank.
Okay,
that's why the tank was replaced. Mm-hmm. But the canister and the evap solenoid, that's brand new. Okay, that's all brand new.
And the tank was replaced because of this problem, or was this problem arise?
He assumed, you know, it was either or. It was either, you know, the tank itself or usually most of the time that I found that it's the canister that gets clogged.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty common, absolutely.
That's pretty common. But not in this particular case. In this particular case, it doesn't seem to do anything.
Okay, so you swap out the tank. You still have the problem, so we've eliminated the tank pretty much. Out the lines.
Locked up the line, right? That's
and now we've because this is it's basically a physical problem here. It's not like something technological. This is something that can be seen. It can be scoped out. I think there's a line that's pinched and then now it's repinched or something along those lines. There's air not getting out when the fuel is being introduced into the tank. The air is not being let out.
Right? Is there anything that you know of? Like obviously another solenoid that's hidden somewhere something that there's, I mean, it would trip a code. There's no codes, okay? The car is in excellent shape. The car is, it's not junk. The car is perfect. Right. You know, the car is in excellent shape. But
and it's just started fairly recently?
This is not the first one that we encountered, mm-hmm. okay? And most of the time it was cured, not even replacing the tank, but by just replacing the canister.
You think Identifix would have anything on that?
They might, but I'll tell you something right now. The filler neck on that thing, besides being the neck itself, also has lines on it too, correct?
Right, right.
All right. And did you try disconnecting them in any kind of sequence?
That I don't know.
Okay.
A friend of mine, it's in his shop, and he just called to question me. That's why I don't even know the year.
That's okay. No, the reason why I'm saying is I've seen a number of Chrysler Filanecs in particular. They've got something, a lot of cars have what they call ORV, or onboard vapor recovery, which is when you fill the gas tank. And if you look, there's lines that go at different points on that Filanec, which their job is that as you add the fuel, the vapors come up through it and they kind of recirculate. Like, what I do when I get something like this, I've had a lot of Ford products. That's what I see a lot of. And Hyundais and Mitsubishis, where they have a problem similar to what you're saying. And sure, you disable the canister, bang, the thing starts filling up right away. However, this system here, because it's got those lines coming out of the Filanec, all right? Yeah. As a matter of fact, while I'm talking to you, I'm taking a shot at looking at something, the R&R procedure, and there is a number of lines that go on that thing. All right, any one of them could be a possibility. Like I got one, I see one right below where the neck goes up to the body, and there's a little filter on there, a little canister on that, and there's lines that go down to the tank. So there's more than just the stuff on the top of the tank. In other words, the evap canister and the lines are on top of the tank. All right, but what you might be wanting to look at, especially in a case like this, are those other lines, which I know are going to be a lot of fun to get out of a PT Cruiser. You're gonna
Are they in front of the evap canister, past the evap canister?
Yeah, they're actually in the quarter panel with the filler neck.
Are they in the quarter panel with the fill-in? There's another filter.
Yeah, there's a little filter. There's a couple of lines. I mean, there's a variety of stuff. Now,
okay, you all right. So this I have to tell him. I mean, he obviously he has Mitchell. You know, I can't believe that he can't see this.
Sometimes this stuff ain't obvious. He
had called me and asked me for my advice. Mm-hmm. I says that, you know, the 2-3 times that I saw it happen, most of the times it was the canister.
Sure, and you'd be absolutely right. One other thing, does this guy have a smoke machine?
Yeah, he has a smoke, yeah.
All right, cool. Put the smoke in the front and wait to see where it does and does not come out in the back.
That's a good idea.
In other words, it's the opposite of looking for a leak. You're looking for a clog. Where ain't it coming out?
I've
used a couple of pots of coffee on that particular methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would do it that way, too. But yeah, I would look at that neck area over there. Them things are a pain in the butt.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But that's, you know, you kind of eliminate, you see the obvious. When you put gas in it, you know, it comes out the bottom end. And then all of a sudden, as soon as you hook up the gas tank, it don't go in.
Yeah, but once you hook up them other things there, you've cut off all the routes for the vapor to escape. So you got to eliminate them one by one.
Right.
Well, there you go, Pat.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
I appreciate your help.
Thanks,
Let us know how you make out, Pat. Please, by all means, call us back, all right?
Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye. 516-572-7440. Joe D. Reguarino. I'm Chris Switzer here at Motormouth Radio. And, of course, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Drivers that have gotten in the way of flying birds. That's right. You're driving along, so all of a sudden you hear whomp. You don't know what the heck that was? You see a plumage of feathers? You're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Keep it where you got it. Got a lot more of this mess all coming your way right here at Motormouth Radio.
Whether you're a hot rod or a Camaro chick, the Motormouths will always do the trick. Motormouth Radio, baby.
WHPC Garden City, New York. The voice of Nassau Community College.
Listen. Join WHPC's Daily News Wrap-Up, weekdays at 4:30 p.m., bringing you a complete report of the day's news home and abroad, as well as sports, weather, and many other informative features.
We're Long Island's FM alternative.
Alrighty, welcome back to Motormouth Radio. Taking the calls, 516-572-7440. Joe D. Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Phone lines on fire. But it's open now. 516-572-7440. There's your phone number. I was wondering from Pat if that gas was going to flow not as quickly. Like if you were able to trickle it in.
What happens is because the gas nozzle has a vapor cutoff because that's what cuts you off. In other words, once you achieve a certain pressure, you ain't stopping. You know, you ain't flowing, I should say. So at that point, that's really hard to gauge.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's not like you have something that you can control. That stuff is completely out of your hands.
Mm. What happens when sometimes you'll pop open a gas cap? Getting ready to pump gas, you pop it open, and you hear that sucking sound.
Oh, yeah. It's vacuum. You're releasing the vacuum. So you're introducing the air.
Right. So you're drawing gas out of the tank. Is there something in there that must be clogged because I'm thinking that there is a tube that is going to allow air in?
Well, you see, that's another thing that he didn't mention anything about the car stalling out. Remember back in the day, you used to have a car with, say, a non-vented cap when he should have had a vented cap, and the car would, like, stall and stuff?
Right. Sure.
Or, like, collapse the tank or something? Mm-hmm. No mention of that was made. It wouldn't put gas in, which a lot of times is an evap-related issue.
Yeah.
However, you know what I mean? A number of cars, mostly Chryslers, I've had these wacky issues with Filinex. And especially after looking at this rat's nest, I was like, okay. Gotta start eliminating that.
I gotta tell you, on another note, fuel-related, though. And I had had some fun yesterday with where fuel was concerned and learned where you never look a gift part in the mouth.
Nor should you put it in there.
No, I was over summoned by our friend, good friend Mike at Celebrity Chase. I went down to look at he's made a few new acquisitions, cars he's picked up, going to flip them, whatever. One of them is going to be maybe a showpiece. He's going to bring it around and use it as a PR. And that one, it's a rat rod out of Texas.
Ooh.
So kind of cool, small block Chevy in the thing with 2 4-barrels. And he couldn't get it to run. So, you know, we tried everything, gas in the carburetor, starting fluid. And I said, okay, we got to go a little further. He said that it had an electric fuel pump in the back that was hanging. So they...
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah, they there was a second one, so he hooked up the second one. The first thing I noticed was, all right, I'm looking at one quarter AVS and one AFB. One was older than the other.
Mm.
Lovely.
And they had the guy had it wired, hooked up so that the front carburetor
was a small swap
meet. Yeah, it was. A fuel pressure regulator up between the carburetors, so the fuel came up, fed the regulator, and then over to the two, that regulator word again, fed the two carburetors. I said, Mike, we don't know what the pressure is. There's no, usually everybody puts a gauge on these things.
Sure.
And you got an electric pump, so we don't know if the pump is rated for the carburetors, and we don't know what the pressure is. So that's our first thing. And no start, no run. So we ended up basically going down to one carburetor. I don't think the back one was even being used, so we had plenty of fuel flow out of the supply line. And we get the thing to run, fire up and run with kind of open headers. He put the headers on the opposite side of the car and inverted them, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being that, you know, in retrospect, it's the accelerator pump that was bad in this thing because the floats were totally whacked. Those quarters have two
yes,
floats.
They have
totally
the forky looking thing there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fixed those. The pump looked good. It didn't look bad and it wasn't destroyed, but we wouldn't get actuation. So Mike says, hey, you know what? What about that carburetor that a guy dropped off for his son's car? Now, Mike's son's car is a 70 GTO that, of course, takes a quadrajet. And the guy brought him a later model Edelbrock, which is a copy of the AFB, the ones I have on my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked Mike out of using that on his car. I said, no, then you got to use an adapter plate and all of that. Stick with the spread bore. So he brought it over. I said, let's see. I said, we can swap that thing in about 3 minutes. It's the same bolt pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
four nuts, two bolts, drop it on, put some gas in it, and the thing just fired up, roared to life. The shop filled. The guys on the other side had to be thinking, what the hell is going on over there? Because open head is, you know, we got about to the eye-burning stage and said, all right, let's kill it.
Yeah, yeah.
But now at least it's drivable. He may even hook up the electric choke. And
yeah, that means you still have a certain amount of misfires going on there.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's rich. Yeah. Yeah, we don't know when the last thing. The guy said he sold it to him. It was running, and then it was now in not running condition when he sold it because they felt that it got wet and something happened. Anyway, it does run, so he's happy.
Cars don't like the gasoline, doesn't like to sit anymore. And depending on when the carburetors were made, we found, you know, where I worked, that the carb, you know, a lot of the older rubber components, anything that's more than about maybe 5-6 years old at this point,
mm-hmm.
that stuff just decrepitates real quick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, they say it turns within a few months now.
Fuel, yes.
Unless you treat it.
Yes.
Wow.
Very, very, very strange. Let's go to the phones, to the fun. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
How you doing, Chris? Steve from Plainview.
What's up, Steve? What's going on, brother?
You guys were talking about the full-size Chrysler cars. I was just wondering, are they still, like, underneath the architecture? Remember when they first came out with the 300? There was supposed to be, like, a Mercedes underneath because Mercedes owned the company at the time. Did they engineer that out of the car, or is that still basically that Mercedes platform way underneath there?
Well, it's still the same Chrysler 300 platform. They just keep updating the fronts and the backs of them, but it's still...
So under all the niggling problems, there's a good design under that car is what I'm trying to bring out.
Well,
right?
It's a pretty time-tested design, yeah, I would say. It is a good design. But is it Mercedes-engineered? Could have been. It was engineered during the old Daimler Chrysler days. So
yeah,
sure.
I believe it was actually a Mercedes platform, like from their ML SUV or something. It was identical parts when he first came out. You don't hear that anymore, but when he first came out with that line, it was a big thing, a big mm-hmm. hidden secret. You could buy a Mercedes for half the price.
Right.
I'm wondering if that's still under that car.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't be surprised if it probably is.
Some of the basic architecture, I don't think they really redid the thing completely. There's a lot of leftover Daimler Chrysler. left over. Well, just it went from Daimler Chrysler to Cerebrus, I think, owned them for a little bit, and now it's a Fiat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some leftovers as they phase the platforms out. You know that stuff goes. But I think the 300 they redid, I think, in what was that 2010?
But it's
2011.
Yeah. I mean,
or
but
like
they kind of reskinned it. But I think the underpinnings are all the same.
The framework, the architecture is the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to go with a yes on this one, Steve.
Okay. Thank you very much, though. Have right, a nice Steve. Day.
Take
you
care.
Too. Take care.
Bye bye. 516-572-7440. There's phone number.
Chris, along with what you were saying, Christian had said that back in the day they were getting Honda motorcycles where the fuel tanks weren't just collapsing on themselves because the vent line was pinched when it was manufactured.
Right.
And the problem was the tanks on those bikes, like the later BMWs, were just like a tin tank that were covered with bodywork. So the bodywork doesn't move because it's not really the tank. The tank is inside, and you wouldn't see it until you had a failure. And then, you'd, wow. You know, when you worked on them, you'd know.
So. Mm-hmm.
How is that? So, yeah. That Volkswagen commercial, it's definitely stocking. Yeah, that's pretty much what was happening.
Far from grooving.
Yeah, there you go.
It's funny you should mention that, Ray. I had an exhaust system on a 74 Cadillac one time. It was like a dual wall exhaust system.
Oh, yeah.
And the inner portion
collapsed.
Talk about keeping it quiet.
Collapsed. Yeah, the car would bog at high speed, and it just got progressively worse and worse as the restriction got closed more and more closed.
But you like that because
then the clogged cat.
No, you like that because then the belt turns slower. Hey, look, we can read it in slow.
But we couldn't figure it out because you looked under there and you didn't see anything collapsed.
Right.
Right.
Because people would say, how's the exhaust? You know,
and that's when, guys, I bought years ago an exhaust pressure tester.
Right.
I had the old one. I used to just pop a hole in the pipe and then hold it up.
Yep.
And read the pressure. And you take like a sheet metal screw with a piece of inner tube or something, or JB Weld, and just stick it in there. Or if you wanted to go and get the weld, you'd put a dab of weld on it. But
Or you could use a vacuum gauge.
Or you could use a vacuum gauge, right?
Right.
That's in that chart they show you with,
old friends, yeah.
With all the pictures of the vacuum gauge, what it's doing.
Yep.
Clogged exhaust.
Yeah, the one where it's all the way down. Yeah. A lot of times you could see at least the beginning of some of that stuff. Basically, when you're doing a vacuum test, you should have, let's call it 18 to 20 inches of vacuum.
Right.
All right, when you snap the throttle open, it's actually going to go up an inch or two. And then if you crack the throttle wide open and let it snap shut, you should have 3 to 5, at least, inches more vacuum. All right, if you don't have that big jump up.
Yeah, after you drop to zero or close about, after because you have negative pressure, you'll get down to zero, then it'll pop up again, yeah.
It's got to go real high for a minute. If it that's doesn't
like
go
to,
high.
That's what I like to do on a highway. I put a vacuum gauge in a Pontiac, and one of the things I love to do is I'm cruising, and I'll let off the gas. I just like to watch the vacuum gauge. And I use it as like I've always used it.
Gas mileage meter.
As a gas mileage meter, because when you're on a highway, if you just take your... Now, you know once you use one where your vacuum should be. Mm-hmm. Just take your foot just a little bit off the gas, and boop, you'll pop it up like...
a sweet spot.
Two, three, 4 pounds.
So when it pops up, that means you're using less gas?
Yes.
Yeah, the higher the vacuum, the less of a load
you're... More efficient.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the lower the vacuum, the increase
in
load?
Words, full throttle. If you just flat punch it, that thing goes right down atmospheric, yeah.
Because you're dumping all the vacuum out?
Well, that's because there's no restriction now. It's just like...
Right.
You're pulling just sucking right in.
What was that again, Jeff?
Very nice. Sound like my cat.
Yeah, I didn't even handle headballs or nothing. I tied it back this morning. Nothing got in there,
sweet.
I swear.
Very good.
Well, gentlemen, we've done it again one more time.
We've burned it.
Burned another hour.
Turn back around.
Right here, Motor Mouth Radio.
Nice.
Glad to say, one more we're putting in the books here. For Joe D, for Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motor Mouth Radio. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for being here with us. And, of course, the information we always love to give. Don't follow us home. See ya.
Bye. Yeah, we need to close.